joining us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline is our CFL insider, Arash Madani. Arash, thanks for doing this. How are you today?
Everything is great. Labor Day is when the CFL season officially gets underway, right?
Yeah, let's hope so. It gets underway. But before we get started on a few things, just wanted to ask you about that. How bad does the CFL this year need Labor Day to go very well? We've got a lot of premier matchups, especially in the West with Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg. It has been maybe a dull year for the CFL in terms of some of the games and excitement level. How bad does the league really need this weekend to go really well?
Well, look, I mean, it's been a terrible first half of the season. So if you can springboard something, Labor Day is the perfect time to do it. And a lot of people start paying attention because of the tradition, because, you know, they're getting back in the swing of things for fall. And I mean, autumn is football weather. So on a rivalry weekend, on a traditional historic weekend, this is a real opportunity now for the league to try and take a next step, because the on-field product has really struggled for most of this season.
Yeah, and it definitely needs a big game. So start in Regina, where the story was this week, of course, the Labor Day game, but the biggest in-season sweepstakes were going on this week with Weston Dressler.
Yeah, no question about it. And, I mean, these were full-on sweepstakes. And I'll be honest, I can't remember the last time in-season there has been such a push, such a recruiting crunch to try and land a player, not just coming out of NFL cuts, but just period across the board. And look, Dressler had a lot of opportunities. There was more money sitting on the table from the Ottawa Redblacks, and he had to make a decision. Now, what's interesting about this is, you know, there was so much talk made in the spring about the new collective bargaining agreement and how things would be affected from a non-cash standpoint immediately. What really changed the whole dynamic here is that Weston Dressler was not locking himself into a two-year contract. In the past, you would have a one-plus-one, a one-year deal plus a team option. Now Dressler effectively signed for $200,000 prorated, so for half the season, including a signing bonus. And at the end of the year, at the end of the season, he could get to free agency if he doesn't sign a contract extension with the Riders. Dressler now has an opportunity to cash in twice, and it's in part because of that new collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, so definitely interesting stuff going on with Weston Dressler. How about the game, though? For the last number of years, Labor Day was with Saskatchewan. Winnipeg would play the first time of the season, but with the Bombers going into the West, they've already seen each other once. What's the takeaway maybe from going into Sunday's game?
Well, the takeaway is who's going to win the battle on the line of scrimmage. I mean, if you think back to it, you know, yeah, Saskatchewan won 23-17, but the Bombers held the lead late in the fourth quarter. They had more first downs. They nearly tripled the passing yards against a Saskatchewan team that's dead last in throwing the football, which is why Dressler is such a big addition for them. Mm-hmm. But the Riders dominated the line of scrimmage. They rushed the ball over and over again. Jerome Messam had just been signed by Saskatchewan. He threw for 129 yards in that second half alone. The Bombers rushed the ball 11 times for 8 yards. So when you look at it, it's, okay, if this is going to be a ball control game, then who's going to, you know, which line of scrimmage is going to deliver? Who's going to perform? And then ultimately, don't turn the football over like Drew Willey did when Terrell Mays picked him off for the pick six that won it.
Yeah, definitely going to be a good game between Saskatchewan and Winnipeg. Moving closer here to Calgary, John Huffnagel, the Stampeders, said they also kicked some tires on Weston Dressler. But Wednesday night, you reported it was much more than that.
Yeah, it was more than kicking tires. And Huffnagel's, you know, trying to downplay it because they didn't land him. But the Stampeders were definitely interested in Dressler services. We reported Wednesday night that, you know, they were in the conversation. This came down effectively to a three-horse race, from what I'm told, between the Riders, the Red Blacks, and the Stampeders. Matter of fact, I'm being told that Calgary's offer was actually a little higher than Saskatchewan's. A couple of things here. Familiarity is a big part of it. Because Dressler worked in George Cortez's offense last year, because he has the chemistry, the familiarity with Darian Durant, Dressler can play right away. He can basically be inserted in a plug-and-play situation, which is very difficult to do in professional football. But he now has that opportunity to do so. So the Stamps really want, I mean, they put a full-court press on for Weston Dressler. It didn't work out. But there's a little more there than Huffnagel is going to reveal, a little more than meets the eye.
Arash Badani joining us down the Fresh Take Hotline as we are talking about the CFL Labor Day weekend. It is Football Fridays here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Stamps do add Josh Gordon to their nag list. Should we make anything of that, or is there interest really with Josh Gordon playing in the CFL? Is it even possible?
Well, look, it's not going to happen. I mean, you're talking about a top five, top ten receiver in the league, and because he's suspended while under NFL contract, he's going to be ineligible to play. He's going to be ineligible to play in the CFL this season. This all goes back to the Ricky Williams rule of 2007. After Williams was allowed to play while on a year-long NFL drug suspension, you know, the CFL changed the policy. So, yeah, the Stampeders add him. He's the flavor du jour. You know, perhaps down the road something may happen. Heck, if Gordon tests positive one more time in the NFL, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But this is kind of piggybacking, getting, you know, this is vintage John Murphy, who's in the Stamps front office. He added Pac-Man Jones back in 2009 when he was working in Winnipeg. Now he does the same with Josh Gordon. It was a piece of news for 24 hours, but it's in reality, it's much ado about nothing.
When you talk about the Stamps and Eskimos, both teams at 7-1, what do you make about this game? I mean, for the first time ever, I mean, this is the best records they've ever had going into a Labor Day game. This one's going to be a pretty good one.
Yeah, and it's basically two teams kind of, from a health standpoint, going in opposite directions. Because now that just the Stampeders are getting healthy, you know, Mo Price is going to be back in the mix, and finally there's some stability of quarterback, and, you know, Nick Lewis is coming around. John Cornish is back in the mix. You know, up the road in Edmonton, you know, even today at practice, Mike Riley took very limited reps. Fred Stamps was still working with the twos. Riley was the guy who went to practice yesterday with a black wrap on his throwing hand because he dinged up his thumb last week. Mm-hmm. So it's basically going to be, you know, we already saw one installment of this. And, you know, this is going to be one of those physical battles. It's going to have to be, and that's not going to change the rest of this year. The DNA of these two football teams is going to say as much. But if Edmonton's without its starting quarterback, or without its starting quarterback playing at a high level, even though Chris Jones says that he should be able to play, it's a completely different dynamic to this thing.
You talk about Riley's injury there with his thumb injury that he suffered, but a lot of quarterbacks around the league suffered some injuries last week. What are some updates on the statuses of these guys?
Well, let's go west to east here. BC, it's Kevin. They have bye week this week. So Kevin Glenn, what's his status going to be? We'll find out soon. I mean, they've been doing their best to try and make that transition to Travis Lule. We'll get a very good idea coming out of the holiday weekend. Saskatchewan's the interesting one because Darian Durant got hurt. He couldn't come back in. Again, that was a hand issue as well. I'm told he did a lot of rehab, got a lot of icing done. He actually threw with the ones today in practice, and Weston Dressler was part of the ones in practice. So expected to be full go for Durant, although Tino Sinceri is definitely capable. Drew Willey opened practice today with Winnipeg, throwing with the ones. He's going to be starting for the Bombers in their Labor Day Classic against Saskatchewan. We already touched on Mike Riley as well. Dan Lefebvre out for the season. What a shame with the knee injury. And so Zach Collaros for Hamilton. They pulled him off the six-game injured list. You know, the concussion from a month or so ago. I mean, that was basically out of desperation. You're not going to go with Masoli as your quarterback. So it's going to be the situation Hamilton with their big free agent pickup, and you know Montreal. It's the Jonathan Crompton show, not because of injury either.
Yeah, that's just what they're stuck with there. But when you look at the Labor Day Classic, I guess in Hamilton, it's supposed to go down on Monday, but now it may not happen in Hamilton on Monday. What is going on there with the stadium, and what's the status of this game? When are we going to play it, or are we going to play it at the new Tim Hortons Field? What's going on?
So here are our options here. This is what's been talked about this week. They may play in Hamilton on Monday. They may play in Hamilton on Tuesday, or they may play the Hamilton home game in Toronto on Tuesday. Here's what I've been told, is that this game is going to be played in Hamilton. It's going to be played at Tim Hortons Field, and they believe it's going to be all systems go for a Ticats debut at Tim Hortons Field. It still needs, you know, some rubber stamping from the city, from the building inspector, and all those kinds of things. But, you know, the city's going to come out today and say, look, everything but a guarantee points towards us being able to play this game on Monday, continue the tradition, still needs that rubber stamp from the building inspector for it to move forward. But It's been such a saga to get that stadium ready at Tim Hortons Field and part of it all. Just amazing that even, you know, 48, 72 hours before kickoff, these two clubs definitively don't have an answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a mess at Hamilton, and you've made the point that the Ticats have had six home stadiums last week over 2 years when it's all said and done. How does this even happen right now? How does it even come about that it gets to that amount?
Well, it'll be five if they play at Tim Hortons Field. It'll be six if they go to Rogers Center. Yeah. Amazing how it works. I mean, let's look at it. The Ticats were at Iverwind Stadium. That was their home. Then they played the Touchdown Atlantic game in Atlanta, Canada, in Moncton. Yeah. Became another home. Then they went to Guelph last year while Tim Hortons Field was being built, so that's their third home of the season. Then their stadium wasn't ready this year, so they had to play at McMaster at the last minute, scrambling there. If they go to Rogers Center, which again I doubt is going to happen on Tuesday, if that happens, that would be their fifth, and then ultimately their new home park would be the sixth.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, this is like, you know, we roll our eyes and we shake our heads, but this affects the competitive balance of the league and of its teams. I mean, that is a massive disadvantage for Ken Austin, his staff, his players, you name it. So that's of significance beyond just kind of, you know, shaking your head and saying same old CFL. That actually affects kind of what goes on the field.
And for you, I mean, is that a big factor of why we're seeing Hamilton with that record? I mean, there's obviously other things to it as well with the fact that they've struggled this season, but the stadium thing has a big part of it too?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, look, football, athletes, coaches, they're all creatures of habit. And when you're going to disrupt routine, when you're just going to disrupt the plan, that's going to make an impact. The fact that the Argos and Tiger Cats earlier this week did not know where and when the game was going to be played, that makes an impact as you get your game day preparations together.
Yeah.
So when you this is a routine, stick to routine kind of business, and that gets disrupted along the way.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy there. Arash Madani with us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline. And before I let you go, just one more for you. It's Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day is almost like Christmas for the CFL, and there's a tradition in all these games, but we got to hear the Charles Roberts story. I've been told to ask you about the Charles Roberts story from your Labor Day because we hear it every year, and I don't want to keep it too long, but I know if you have a little bit of time to tell us that story.
This is one of the all-time greats. This goes back to 2008. I was the PR director for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and we were in Saskatchewan to play Regina, you know, at Mosaic for the Labor Day Classic. So the game's Sunday. The team traveled to Regina Friday, but on Saturday, the team went to Moose Jaw to stay there because it's such a circus in Regina, such a party. The organization didn't want the players in the midst of that. Well, I never experienced the Labor Day Classic in Regina before, so I got permission from the organization to stay. And I took part in many of the festivities. Anyway, game day Sunday, I'm checking out of the hotel when the elevator door opens and I hear, "What are you doing here?" And I look over and there is the starting tailback, one of the most prolific tailbacks in the history of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Charles Roberts, who did not go to Moose Jaw with the rest of the team, stayed in Regina doing who knows what.
Yeah.
And he looks at me and says, "Want to ride to the stadium?" So get into Charles's car. He stops at a 7-Eleven, but not before lighting a cigarette. Asks me if I want breakfast at the 7-Eleven. I told him I was okay. He goes in, grabs two Red Bulls, two Snickers bars, lights a second cigarette. We get to the stadium. He didn't have a parking pass. We talked our way into parking. And as he lit his third cigarette, he walked into Mosaic Stadium with a plastic bag from 7-Eleven in his right hand of two Snickers bars and two Red Bulls. And that's how Charles Roberts, the most prolific running back in the history of the franchise, went into Labor Day Classic. The Bombers lost the game, and within 48 hours, he was traded to the BC Lions. That was the day of his last game as a Winnipeg Blue Bomber. And to me, I'll always remember Labor Day for that.
Oh, that is a great story, Arash. Really appreciate this. Thanks so much for taking the time today and spending with us. And hopefully we have a great Labor Day weekend here at the CFL.
You got it.